very encouraging psalm, wasn't it? That we can have everything against us. And indeed, that is really... That was really the triumphant note of the psalmist. Let me just return to that psalm very briefly. God is our strength, refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away, carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's a victorious psalm, isn't it? By those who had tested the Lord and found him trustworthy. And it's a bit of a contrast with the passage that we're looking at tonight, where there's a warning to the people of Israel not to forsake the Lord and to go their own way. And we see in how the chapter begins. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Well, the heart of the problem was that they were not going to the Lord for help. They took counsel, but not of me. And it's a lesson that we must learn as Christians. Which way are we going to walk as believers? Are we going to be those who take counsel from our friends and family who may not be believers? Go to doctors, go to psychiatrists, to take counsel for them because we don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. And I make it clear that this is a distinction I'm making. I'm not saying that it's wrong to go to doctors, and I'm not saying it's wrong to go to psychiatrists. But what I am saying is, whom are we seeking first? There's one thing to go to doctors, because we can do no other. We have prayed. We have sought the Lord. There's another thing when we use counsellors to hide from the Lord. And let me give you a very obvious illustration. And please, conditions like depression can afflict everybody. And Christians are not immune from them. But, for example, why is it that we live in a society that has more depressives, more medication for those suffering from depression than any age? Is it not? Because it is a people that won't turn to the Lord in their distress, but have to look for a worldly solution. If they're depressed, there must be something wrong with them. So we will go to the doctor and get pills for our depression. Whereas, so often, conditions like depression are caused because our souls, spirits are down. Because we don't know the Lord. And of course, if you don't know the Lord, what is there to be cheerful about? Let's be honest. You know that as we get older, we will get old and we will probably run into trouble with relationships with other people. And we have only the grave in the end to look forward to. It is a depressing outlook, isn't it? And when we look at the situation around us, there's very little to give us encouragement. And so many people think, well, the answer is to go to the doctors. Yes, of course they can provide temporary relief. And there won't be one of us who probably hasn't been to a doctor in the last 12 months. We're not saying that, as I make absolutely plain, we're not saying that doctors, psychiatrists cannot offer anything for believers. But here what we have is a people who have made a deliberate decision. They don't want to hear from the Lord. They don't want the hard truths of the Christian faith. And there are hard truths, aren't there? That we need to face up to our sin. We need to confess our sin. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus. We need to be willing to go his way and not our way. And the verse that says this all is in verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But it's the next phrase which is so telling, and ye would not. And how frustrating. How frustrating that so many will refuse to take the medicine that the Lord offers to all. And tragically, if you go to Romans chapter 3, it is the human condition to refuse to accept the Lord's medicine. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one person does good. Not one person seeks after God. Not one person will, in their own strength, turn to the Lord. So what we're talking about is a passage, although it's focused on the children of Israel, it could be focused on all of us. Not one person will turn to the Lord. And we are all together blameworthy. Instead, we've got the people of Israel going back to Egypt. And you can see that that is doubly blameworthy for them, because they had come out of Egypt and that was the great deliverance. Yet when they were in the wilderness, what did they do? They wanted to go back then. And now they're in the promised land and they want to go to Egypt for help against the Assyrians. And we find in Jeremiah that the people of Judah, exactly the same happened. If you just go to briefly to Jeremiah chapter 42, you'll see exactly the same problem here. A people who again refuse to obey the Lord. And they came, the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplications be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. What a good start. That was a good intention, wasn't it? And how many will go that far? They want to hear what the Lord would have them do. The only problem is they often don't like the reply. And look here, verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. It's interesting, isn't it, that we heard this morning about Joseph and Mary. Well, they were told by the Lord to flee to Egypt because Herod sought their life. You see, it's not always wrong to flee, but it is wrong to do it because we've decided, we've taken worldly counsel, we have sought the Lord, and we have disobeyed the Lord. And this is the problem here in Isaiah 30. They were a rebellious people. And we have to say, well, how does that apply to the way I'm living my life? What is it that is Egypt for me? Well, Egypt for me is how I was living my life before I became a believer. The values I had before I became a believer. The way I use my money. The insurance, as it were, I have for my future. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that none of us should ever use insurance. I think that's, again, an extreme. For some, they may take that decision. For others, they won't. But whichever decision you take on such matters, as Christians, we go to the Lord first. And this is the key, isn't it? In Psalm 46, that wonderful peace that came on the people, that in the midst of conflict, they could say, they could obey the psalmist, be still and know that I am God, the words of God through the psalmist. And friends, I wonder, what are we facing? What conflict are we facing? And how are we dealing with it? See, if we deal with it in the wrong way, then we're going to find that as believers, we're not going to have any help. Verse 7 of Isaiah 30, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. All because this people were rebellious and they wouldn't turn to the Lord. Look at this, we see this. And verse 8, we see, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. It was to be, a record was to be written of the rebellion of this people. And here we have it in Isaiah 30. We have their rebellion recorded for us. And we know in 1 Corinthians 10 that these are warnings for us, for whom the ends of the earth have come. If you just turn very briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see the purpose of these Old Testament prophecies. Verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they all also lusted. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. These examples of the way the people of Israel turned away, turned their backs on the living God, and sought to trust in the very nations that had been their enemies, are warnings to us in the way that we live our Christian lives. And of course, we don't have exactly the same issues as they have, but we have the same principles. We have enemies, and we have ways in which we can deal with problems. That's the key, isn't it? You see, peace for the people of Israel, prosperity in their nation, is for us as Christians, peace in our hearts. Seeing the Lord helping us, directing us, guiding us. Well, we know that in the matter of conversion, it is only the Lord who can do this. Whereas we read about the rebellion of mankind, we read in Psalm 110, verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." When God moves by his Spirit upon an individual soul, calling them to himself, then we are given the grace to respond. But naturally, we will all be like the Israelites in verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." But of course, the worrying thing is that believers can backslide too. And in one sense, there is more of a culpability, isn't there? Well, there obviously is, because we've known the ways of the Lord. We've known his blessing. And the situation in Isaiah is just like that, isn't it? Because it's people who've known deliverance from Israel, and sorry, from Egypt, and yet they're going back there for help. We've known deliverance from the world. Let's not, as believers, go back to the world. It's sad when we see it in the church, isn't it? When the church is getting smaller, the message of the gospel is less and less popular. And so what does the church do? Well, the church resorts to business methods. It resorts to changing worship to make the service an experience that will attract people. They will introduce food and comfortable seats. And it will be more like going to the cinema than it will to a worship service. They forget how the Lord requires us to worship. They forget that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. So there are ways in which the church becomes worldly, and the offence of the gospel is reduced. This is how Christians can turn, as it were, to Egypt. It's how believers can cease to please the Lord in the way that we seek him and we worship him. But, you know, there is a closeness that we can return to, and that's the invitation in verse 15. "In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In repentance and faith shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." This is the invitation, isn't it? Quietness and confidence. It's wonderful, isn't it, when others see the effect of the Lord's moving in our lives, that we don't fret like the world does. We don't give up, because our eyes are on the Lord and our faith is in him to deliver us from whatever situation that we face. I love the last verse that we read. I think it's a very important one. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Well, as someone has said in the past, I think it's a fair point, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. What do you have to do if you hear a voice behind you saying, This is the way, walk ye in it? You have to turn round, don't you? Because you have to turn round to see which way that person is directing. So it means we've gone the wrong way. And will we turn round and face the right way? Will we hear the voice of the Lord? But what a privilege that we might even hear the voice of the Lord. See, what we're dealing with in this passage is the people who've blocked their ears to hearing the voice of the Lord, yet the voice of the Lord is still speaking to them. Friends, isn't it wonderful? Today, God is speaking through his word, by his spirit. He cares about the direction that each of us takes. He doesn't want any of us to leave here unclear about what they should do, what we should do in the way we live our lives this coming week. There's a way we can live our life to get through this coming week, which is different from the way we lived our lives last week. Simply by applying simple principles, seeing that God cares. He cared for the people of Israel. He cares for his people. We are, after all, part of the Israel of God. God's care for his ancient people is just as careful, just as loving as his care for us. But we, like them, have to watch our hearts. Are we going to incline our hearts to him, or are we going to hold back? And despite the things that we are told in his word, we're going to continue in our own way. Well, there is a warning if we do take that way, isn't there? That stubborn way. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, No, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. We will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. It's a wonderful release when we face our problems. Just last night I was saying to somebody about what I was doing, somebody here, what I was doing last night, and there were just a couple of things that I hadn't done for a long time, and they were weights on me. I fear tomorrow I will remember other things I hadn't done. But they were two things that I hadn't done that I needed to do. By God's grace, finally, I faced up to it, did it, and such relief. And friends, we need to face up to the issues that maybe we are running away from in our lives, on horses, as it were. This is a beautiful picture of it, isn't it? Don't let's be those who flee away from our problems. But let us be willing to face our problems with the Lord. And there is that very familiar invitation by the Lord in Matthew chapter 11, isn't there? Verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's the rest of faith for the believer. As a new believer, as he comes in repentance and saving faith, as he hears the Lord's voice and obeys it. And then there's the rest of service, where we take the Lord's yoke upon us. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, and there is rest unto our souls when we do this. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, those encouraging words where, again, we are in trouble. We must remember there's a throne of grace. Verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That's forgiveness of sins, isn't it? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. There's grace to help in our problems when we seek the Lord. Can I encourage us? I wonder if there's anything in that we're running away from, looking to the world for, giving up about. Well, can I suggest that the answer here is to turn to the Lord, to ask him to help us, to direct us, and to be willing to follow his direction. And when we do seek the Lord for the way ahead, he will give it. He will give us direction, as he gave Johanan and the captains of Judah's army. He gave them directions. They didn't follow those directions, and so their troubles multiplied to destruction. Friends, the Lord answers prayer. He will give us the way ahead. Let us turn to him, pray to him, trust in him, and obey him. Amen.